Hi, you're listening to Advanced Studio Classroom. It's May 24th, 2018, and we are on day two of our fitness article. My name is Brandon, and back in the studio, I have several panelists. First, welcome back, Zach.
Hello, listeners. Glad to be back discussing fitness.
That's right. What is this article all about?
So today we are talking about specifically treadmills and tips for using these machines.
That's right. And yesterday we talked about five mistakes to avoid while exercising. We talked about the importance of warming up, the importance of balance on a treadmill and walking backwards on a treadmill. And we also talked about how it's important to add variety in your workout and to rest well. So those are the things that you should do. And within each of those, there are tips about avoiding certain things while exercising. As Zach said, today we are talking about treadmills and tips for using this type of equipment. Now, how many of us here use treadmills? Let's find out. And I want to welcome back our other guests as well. We have a team of nurses here visiting again today. And first, want to welcome back Tyler.
Hey, I'm glad to be back, and I'm very excited to talk about this topic.
Tyler, do you use treadmills often?
I do when I'm living back home with my parents, because they have one right by my bed. But when I'm away at college, I usually just go outside.
That's convenient. You just get up out of bed and jump on the treadmill. That's what I want to do first thing in the morning. All right. We also have Amber. Welcome back.
Hi. Thank you for having me again.
Do you use a treadmill from time to time?
From time to time, yes. But typically, I'll go outside. As we talked about yesterday, I tend to like the outdoors to get some fresh air. So, but if for some reason it's raining, as it does a lot in Seattle, I will use the treadmill at school or at, sometimes at home.
Sure. And Christine, how about you? Do you like to jump on the treadmill?
Only if I have to. Normally,
if I have to. Okay.
I prefer the outdoors. I will only use a treadmill and go inside if it's snowing.
That's a good reason to go inside and exercise indoors. I don't really like to get on the treadmill too often unless the weather's not nice, because why jump on a treadmill when I can just go for a run outdoors, right?
I feel the same way.
Yeah, and so you can take in the beauty of the great outdoors. Well, we do have, as I said, this team of nurses here. I want to get their thoughts on, you know, what happens if you don't exercise? And we kind of know, and of course, like, nothing is certain. You know, some people don't exercise much and they have a long life. We don't know. But in general, of course, it benefits you to exercise. It always benefits you to exercise as long as it's not too intense. But what are some of the things that could occur if you don't exercise enough, Tyler?
A couple things that happen when you don't exercise enough is you start gaining a lot of weight, which leads to obesity. Which that's a big problem that can lead to many other diseases like, heart disease or diabetes and many, many other things.
Right. You could also have problems with high blood pressure.
Yes.
Lots of problems there. What are some other things, Amber?
So as Tyler mentioned, heart disease, also loss of muscle tone. They always say if you don't use it, you lose it. It's the same preface with this. That's probably a big one.
Okay. And Christine, anything else?
Just as you mentioned, like increased blood pressure can cause more problems, can worsen and the effects of heart disease.
It's like a snowball effect,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, big snowball effect.
So you start gaining more weight and then that can cause other problems as well. And so we need that reminder. We need that in our minds to know that, hey, if we don't exercise, there can be problems. And even if you are not gaining weight, maybe you are quite slim, it's still important to exercise. I think sometimes we focus just on weight gain, but there are some people who are, rather thin, but it's important to exercise because the heart needs that, right? And so you can't just focus on the outside.
That's right. And I think in addition, yesterday we talked a little bit about range of motion. And I think even with exercise, you know, it's not only just like gaining weight, losing weight, but, you know, experiencing a flexibility is a sign of health, creating a solid range of motion Which just means, you know, rotating your limbs,
right.
Arms and legs. So, yeah, there's a lot of different benefits to exercising.
So hopefully this will encourage all of us to hit the gym or go outdoors, get some exercise, even just going for a walk. We've talked before about the benefits of walking regularly. There are many benefits from that. And so these articles are just reminding us to once again get out there and get some exercise or go to the gym and get on a treadmill. That's today's topic. So if you have your magazine, please open it to page 35, or you can follow along on your digital device as well. Right now, we will have our first reading for today.
Treadmills. Tips for using this versatile piece of exercise equipment. I used to think of treadmills as the walk or run of shame, but I have since wised up. Approached the right way, they can offer in-depth, all-around workouts beyond the usual push the button and go. The machines can target all the key muscle groups needed to improve lower body strength and endurance, said Adam Tenford, MD, with the Department of Physical Medicine and Rehabilitation at Harvard-affiliated Spalding Rehabilitation Hospital.
Well, some people, they don't like getting on a treadmill. The writer here says, I used to think of treadmills as the walk or run of shame. What is he referring to?
Well, in this case, he's talking about kind of that dreadful, just dreading the experience of getting on the treadmill. And this is a popular phrase, a walk of shame, to do something that you really regret.
All right. And so he doesn't want to do that, apparently,
right.
Or at least before. But he has wised up, and that's a good phrase to know. Amber, what does it mean if you say you have wised up?
So I believe it would have something to do with getting more information and building your knowledge off of that. So maybe he had a different idea about it, but was able to do some research and then realize that there are actually benefits to doing, you know, a certain activity.
You're wiser, basically, because of new information that has come in.
Yes.
Or that you have discovered. Well, approached the right way, they can offer in-depth, all-around workouts. Now, it's important, it says here, approach the right way, Zach, and so you have to use these machines in a certain way in order to get the full benefit. We talked about in the deck making the most out of your exercise routine, and so the approach is important, isn't it?
It is. It certainly seems like it is. If you don't approach something in the correct way or the appropriate way, you're going to lose benefits. Whereas if you approach something in the correct way, there's probably a lot of inherent and added benefits of, and you'll make the most out of that particular experience. And in this case, we're talking about treadmills. And, if they are approached the right way, then you're going to include all the key muscle groups, the article says, and, right. Get the most out of that workout.
And a lot of times we want something easy, but we need to do research. And most things in life that are worth doing, if you want to do it well, you have to really be all in, right? And put all the effort forward or forth. It says something here about this push the button and go idea. In other words, I think in our society, we want things to come very quickly. Right? We want convenience. We want to push a button and then all of a sudden everything just works out. But they're saying here you may have to put more effort in than that, right, Tyler?
Yeah, it's not just going to be an instant kind of thing that's going to happen suddenly. You really have to work out your muscles to be able to build up your endurance.
All right, or you have to know, you know, what workouts you should do on a treadmill in order to get the most benefit. Well, the machines, they can target all the key muscle groups needed to improve lower body strength and endurance. This is according to a doctor there at Harvard, or a Harvard-affiliated organization. Well, what are we talking about when we are referring to endurance, Christine. We use that a lot when we're talking about exercise. What does it mean to have endurance?
Endurance means like you're being fit enough to run a long distance and not get exhausted. It's just building up your tolerance of exercise.
Very good. And it's important to have that. And you can't run a marathon all at once, right? You have to build up that endurance. It takes a long time. Well, next we're going to learn about something called the rate of exertion. Let's find out about that in our next reading.
Rate of exertion. Most treadmills monitor intensity with hand sensors that measure your heart rate, says Tenford. A better way to gauge your effort is with the rate of perceived exertion. This involves ranking your sense of how hard you're working on a 1 to 10 scale, with 1 being low and 10 being high. Speed, endurance, and muscle building. Here are two treadmill routines from Tenford you can add to your exercise program that address speed, endurance, and muscle building. Routine 1, incline, endurance and muscle building. An incline setting generates more muscle activity than walking or running on a flat surface. The workout. Begin walking or running at a zero-grade incline at an exertion rate of 3 or 4 for up to 2 minutes, and then increase to level 1 incline for another minute or two. Repeat the routine until you reach an incline level where you work at 5 to 7 exertion, and try to maintain it for a minute or longer. Then reverse the routine until you reach the 0-grade incline again.
Okay, when we talk about exertion, we're talking about effort. When you make a lot of mental or physical effort, of course here, well, it really takes both, but we're primarily talking about physical effort. And we're going to talk about a scale in a moment, and this will help you to rate the level of exertion. How hard are you really working out? Well, treadmills actually monitor intensity, don't they, Zach?
They do, based on if you can hold on to the sensor on the treadmill, it will measure and kind of read back to you what your heart rate is.
All right, and sometimes that doesn't always work out so well, does it, Amber, when you're trying to, you know, get that, hold on to the side and you're waiting for that the measurement to show up and it doesn't. Why is that?
It's typically because the palms when you're running are coming up, so it's important to make sure that you have a nice solid grasp on it for at least 30 seconds so it can adequately pick up your heart rate and then let go once it's picked it up.
All right, but there is a better way to gauge your effort. Christine, that word gauge is good to know. What does it mean?
It's just kind of like a calculation. In this scenario, it's like what you personally think, like you're putting forth effort, like how much.
All right, so you're gauging the effort. What do you think, you know, how much effort are you putting into this and how hard is it? And it says a better way to gauge your effort is with the rate of perceived exertion. That word perceived is good to know, Zach. What does it mean if you perceive something?
Well, to perceive, we're kind of talking about your intuition, your ability to kind of how you experience. Here we're talking about exertion, so how much energy or effort you're putting forth, and when you perceive something, you're just, you're kind of gauging and you're calculating and you're figuring out, this is this hard to me or it's that hard for me.
All right, next, Tyler, it tells us what is involved here. Can you tell us about that?
So what's involved here is you're ranking on a scale of 1 to 10, and 10 being like, this is as much effort as I can put into this. 1 being like, almost like kind of casually just walking, like you're just not putting any effort into it. So just ranking it depending on how far you think you can go with your effort in this workout.
Right. So 1 might be very light and 2 light and so forth. And then you get up to maybe around 7 and it's very heavy, and 10 it's extremely heavy. And so you just kind of have that in your mind, how much, you know, effort is being put in there and how tired are you, right? Are you kind of out of breath? You have to think about that as well. Okay, so that's about rate of exertion. This is a better way to gauge your effort rather than using the monitor on the treadmill. What about speed, endurance, and muscle building? What are we going to learn about that, Zach?
We're going to take a closer look at how speed, endurance, and muscle building are highlighted by certain exercises, certain workouts, in order to improve them. And we're going to see that in two distinct routines or workouts.
That's right. Let's find out about the first one. We'll talk about that actually right now. It's routine one is incline. Mm-hmm. And what does incline mean, Amber?
So incline is a slope. This setting generates more muscle activity than walking or running on a flat surface. So it's essentially providing resistance.
Yeah, and you have that setting on a lot of treadmills, most treadmills, and it will get higher. And so the slope will, you know, be more steep. And, of course, that's more difficult. And they have all these different routines that you can do on a lot of treadmills and that will, you know, go higher and lower and so forth. And so that is the incline that helps you with endurance and building muscle. Well, what is the workout? We begin walking or running at a zero grade incline. When we talk about grade, Zach, what are we referring to?
Well, grade, for instance, like in order to measure and to kind of figure out where we are on the scale, so we'd say zero grade. I'm trying to think of another instance where we would use grade.
And it's also talking about the slope, right, and how steep it is.
Exactly. So zero would be, you know, essentially flat, right, mm-hmm. zero grade. So that's just completely flat. And then as you incline, the scale would increase and the grade could rise to one, two, three, for instance.
Right. So you begin with that zero grade incline. And what about the exertion rate? Where does that begin? Which number do we start at, Tyler?
At the beginning, at the zero grade incline, you want to be around a 3 or a 4. So you feel like you're putting in some effort, like a light to moderate effort mm-hmm. while you're there.
All right. And then you want to increase to level 1 incline for another minute or two. And then what do you do, Christine?
Then you want to just keep continuing that. So after a minute or two on level 1 incline, you'd want to increase it to a level 2. For another minute or two, and then just keep doing that until you reach the maximum level of incline.
Okay. And then you also want to reach maybe 5 to 7 exertion rate, which is heavy to very heavy. And so you see this build up, don't you?
Right. You see a build up, and then it goes on to say you will scale this back, or they use this word reverse mm-hmm. the routine. And I think this would kind of go hand in hand with what we were talking about earlier, about cooling down. You want to give yourself an opportunity or your body to rest. We discussed that, I think it was yesterday.
Yeah, and so this will be different for everyone. You know, how much of an incline? Well, that depends on you. That's why you use this exertion rate to see, you know, if you're already at a 5 to 7 and the incline, you haven't gone as steep as you could, that's okay, because that's good for you. Remember, we are building endurance, and you will be able to do more later on, but you have to kind of do this one step at a time, and you don't want to do too much at once. So, it says here at the end, reverse the routine until you reach the zero grade incline again. And so you start out with the zero grade and you keep going up and the incline, is steeper, but then eventually you get back down to that zero grade incline, there at the end. And so that is routine one. If you're on the treadmill using the incline function, that is a good way to approach this.
And I think, too, just to point out that this is kind of target-selected both endurance and muscle building. Mm-hmm. That in this particular workout or this fitness exercise that I think Christine gave us a good explanation of endurance was just kind of building up your tolerance for, you know, pain or for physical effort. And, you know, muscle building, obviously that's, you know, building stronger muscles and everything that's involved with that. So, yeah, mm-hmm. and so with routine, too, it's going to kind of shift focus.
Yeah, and Zach and Tyler, you mentioned that you have done cross-country, And there's also slopes involved there, right? You're on, maybe on a rugged terrain. And so if you're on a steeper incline, that is a way that you're building endurance and building your muscles in the great outdoors, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, going up a hill, I mean, obviously when you're walking up a hill, you feel it. But, like, you're using different muscles just running up a slope. And you're just building lots of muscles. And it's, like, it strengthens them a lot more, especially using a slope. It does a lot more.
Yeah, right. And Zach, you've experienced that as well.
Yeah, I remember those days when you had to go run the hills. Mm. I would not look forward to Wednesday afternoons, not at all.
Mm-hmm. Well, something that also is really difficult is mountain biking. If you do that all the time, it's not difficult. I did it once. I'm not sure I want to ever do that again because I was on the bike and I was going so incredibly slow. And I was in this, like, competition, and I didn't train much. I was on a bike, and then if you've ever done this, you know that it's really challenging to get out. If it's a steep slope, it's super challenging to, get up the hill because I think it's much harder on a bike. I would rather ditch the bike and just run. That's what I wanted to do because I'm into running more. But that is a challenge, and that also builds endurance and will build your muscles. So there's different ways to exercise. It's important to do what you enjoy, right? Many people love biking, and that's good as long as, you know, your body can handle it. It's okay on your knees and so forth. I guess running is actually worse for your knees, so biking is probably safer there. But it's important to do what you enjoy. Well, next we have another routine to talk about on the treadmill. Let's find out what that is in our last reading for today.
Routine 2, high-intensity interval training, speed, endurance, and muscle building. HIIT involves alternating between set periods of high-intensity work and rest. The high-intensity is at an exertion rate of around 5 to 7, while you rest at a rate of 2 or 3. The point with HIIT is to mix up the intensity to make yourself work harder for shorter periods. It can be fun and breaks up the monotony of exercise, says Tenford. The workout. Begin with a moderately high intensity to rest ratio of 1 to 3, in which you power walk or run for 1 minute and rest for 3 minutes. As you improve, you can vary the ratio to 1 to 2 or 1 to 1.
So now we are talking about high-intensity interval training, better known as HIIT, which is physical training that consists of short periods of intense exercise with short periods of rest in between. Now, this has become a very popular way to exercise, and so I want to ask our panelists, have you ever done this type of exercise, Zach?
I have, both with running and with swimming. Intervals are a highly effective way to work out and to improve, as the article will go on to describe, but it's certainly not a crowd pleaser. I know a lot of us did not enjoy the interval. Now I think if you do it right, I think that's really important, and that's what it's going to hit on, right? That you need to do, this is going to be effective, you need to do it right. Otherwise, it really is a challenge. It's high intensity, so you're right. Going to want to pay attention to the details.
Kind of had a play on words there, I think, by accident. We're going to hit on that, and it's also called HIIT. And so good job there, Zach. And so, HIIT involves alternating between set periods of high-intensity work and rest, as I've already explained. And so our other panelists, Tyler, have you ever done this type of exercise?
Oh, I had to do it all throughout high school. It was about once or twice a week we do high-intensity interval training. So you'd run, and then you'd walk for a tiny bit, and then you'd keep going. And it really did help strengthen your it got you faster as well as it built your endurance and everything.
Okay, so we see some of the benefits there. Amber, how about you? Have you ever, had to do this high-intensity training?
Yes, I've done it several times, both in my personal workout as well as working out for soccer. Like Tyler, in high school, I had to do them. So we would run for a bit as fast as we could and then pause and then run. Mm. Although I dreaded those workouts, I did find that they were the most effective as far as my endurance, and also made me a little bit faster. So there was a little motivation in that as well.
All right, good. Christine?
I've had to do this a couple times in high school throughout sports for the 4 years, lots of basketball and soccer.
Okay.
That's the way we trained before season started.
All right, so it sounds like a lot of people are into this type of exercise. And it tells us here in line 12, the high intensity is at an exertion rate of around 5 to 7, which would be kind of heavy to very heavy, while you rest at a rate of 2 or 3, which would be light to moderate. So you imagine you're on the treadmill and you reach that exertion rate of 5 to 7, and then you want to rest for a bit. Bring it down to 2 or 3.
And important to note, rest, not stopping, right? We're not staying still, but we are just bringing it, scaling it back a little bit.
Yes, and so the point is to mix things up. HIIT allows you to mix things up a bit, so maybe you will not get bored. It breaks up the monotony, doesn't it, Tyler?
Yeah, it makes it so you aren't doing the same thing over and over again. It just adds, like, keep going, and then you like kind of do a little something different with your routine.
It adds some variety. And well, what about the workout? Well, you begin with a moderately high intensity to rest ratio of 1 to 3. So you power walk or run for 1 minute and you rest for 3 minutes. And as you get better, as you build that endurance, you can vary the ratio to 1 to 2 or 1 to 1. And so this is just kind of an example of what you can do. But again, we stress that it's important to find out what works for you. You don't want to do too much too soon. And so start off slowly and continue to build that endurance. We hope that you have enjoyed this month's fitness article, and we hope that you will let us know your thoughts. Go to our website, studioclassroom.com, and let us know what you think. Maybe you have done some of these things, or maybe you have some other advice, some other things you would like to share. Please feel free to do that on our website. We hope you will join us again next time here on Advanced Studio Classroom. Until then, this is Brandon
and Zach,
Christine,
Amber,
and Tyler
saying goodbye.
Goodbye.